Good morning. The Senate Education Committee meeting is called to order. Today is Friday, March 30th, 2022, and the time is 9:02 a.m. We're meeting in State Capitol Room number 205. The senators in attendance are Senator Hughes, Senator Stevens, Senator Begich, and myself as Chair, Senator Holland. Senator Machicki will not be joining us today. Thank you to Mary Gwynn, our recording secretary, and Alex, our moderator for today. As a reminder, if you have cell phones in the room, please silence your cell phones. At this time, I'll bring Senate Bill 236 before the committee. Senate Bill 236 is related to facilities constituting a school. This is the second hearing on this bill. And at this point, I'm going to open public testimony on Senate Bill 236.
Public testimony is now open.
We'll look around the room. Does anybody care to come up and offer a public testimony on 236? Thank you so much. Please. You're welcome to unmask while you give your public testimony and bring the mic in quite tight. And please state your name and any affiliation and begin your 2 to 3 minutes of public testimony.
Good morning. Thank you.
Give it a second. It may resolve itself.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can hear you pretty good.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair Holland. My name is Lon Garrison. I'm the Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to provide some public testimony today on 236. The Association of Alaska School Boards has at least three resolutions the membership has approved that deal with charter schools. And our approach to charter schools is that they are an option within public education, and we're incredibly supportive of that. And we want to make sure that every student in every district has the opportunity to receive the education that best fits their needs. And charter schools are one of those options. And in many rural districts, especially, and in smaller communities where charter schools can be quite a challenge to have, given that sometimes facilities are very limited, this particular bill does not then penalize a district for only having one school and then having an opportunity to also provide a charter school to those individuals within the community that feel like that's the most important and best way to address their educational needs. So on behalf of the Association of Alaska School Boards, we support passage of 236.
Thank you so much for providing that public testimony. Is there anyone else in the room who cares to offer public testimony on Senate Bill 236? And seeing none, I'm checking online, and it doesn't look like there's anyone online. This is just for questions. All right. At this time, I will close public testimony on Senate Bill 236. Public testimony is now closed. For the committee, are there any amendments to be offered on Senate Bill 236? Is there any further debate on Senate Bill 236? Senator Stevens.
Just a question, Mr. Chairman. I know this, I understand this is a, I may have missed an earlier hearing on this, but I understand this is primarily for Hoover Bay School, right? Yet the fiscal note is to solve the problem for Hoover Bay, but are there other charter schools out there that would also get increased funds? So question about, is this realistic, $1 million?
From what I understand, and okay, here we go. We'll go to Elwin Blackwell. Elwin Blackwell may be on the phone, I do believe. Elwin Blackwell, if you can hear me, do you have any input on Senator Stevens' question?
Yes, and for the record, this is Elwin Blackwell, school finance manager with the Department of Education and Early Development, through the chair. What this will do is it will allow their regular K-12 school to receive two adjustments. This wouldn't provide any additional funding to the charter school, since that adjustment is a separate factor in the formula. So what this will allow the Lower Yukon School District to do is to have two adjustments for their K-12 program in Hoover Bay. Currently with that charter school, they now are listed as having two facilities, and so they get one adjustment for the K-12 and then an adjustment for the charter school. So this bill would fix that and allow them to continue to get two adjustments for that K-12 program they have.
Did that answer your question, Senator Stevens?
Not really, Mr. Chairman. So I guess my question now is, are there, in passing this, are we opening this matter up to other schools, and does that fiscal note really reflect what the cost will be if there are other schools that will be included?
Mr. Blackwell?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, currently this bill would only affect the school in Hooper Bay. We do not have any other schools in communities that have one K-12 facility that would are anywhere near that 425 ADM mark. So if another community, say with 300 ADM, opened up a charter school, they would continue to get two adjustments because they're under that 425 ADM threshold for the community.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a final question. So, Alan, you believe that this is the legitimate fiscal note and reflects what the cost will be to the state of Alaska?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, yes, I do.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Blackwell. Senator Hughes.
And just on that point, and I don't profess to be an expert, the people from that school district, Andrew might be able to speak to it, but my understanding, Senator Stevens, was what this fiscal note is doing, it's bringing the funding back to where it was until they hit the snag, because they have the same number of students going to school in Hooper Bay. And what happened is a couple of years ago, 20 of them formed a charter school, and the funding went down. So all this does is bring it back up to the funding they had for the school. So even if we fix this, let's say we have another town that just has one school, and a group decides to start a charter school, it would just keep their funding the same. It would like what happened in Hooper Bay. And it could be that Andrew with Lower Kuskokwim School District can confirm that, but that's my understanding.
And so I see we have Andrew Levitt also joining in by phone. And Mr. Levitt, if you could, if you have any input, please state your name, your affiliation, and any location that you might admit to being at, and offer your answer.
Yeah, through the chair, this is Andrew Levitt. I'm Chief Business Officer with Lower Yukon School District. I'm calling in from Anchorage. Yeah, so when the charter school was opened, it generates a formula penalty. And so when the charter school was closed, let's say our funding was a fixed amount coming in for Hooper Bay. I think it was around, let's say, $9 million. When the charter school opens, the charter school funding plus the funding that goes to the Hooper Bay school, the total of all that comes in around $8 million. So there's about $1 million funding penalty when the charter school is open. And what this fix is only Hooper Bay, that won't impact any other site at the current population levels. And even though there is a fiscal note, right now there's been a savings every year for the last 2 years of about $1 million to the state of Alaska, so it gets us back to where we were prior. And going forward, if this isn't fixed, then it would be an issue of if we close the charter school, the funding would go back up by that $1 million.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Levitt. Are there any other questions or comments from the committee? And still no amendments to be offered. At this point, I will look to Senator Stevens for the will of the committee.
Close public hearing.
That was just invited. I mean, that was, we closed public hearing, public testimony. That was just questions for the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate Education Committee substitute for Senate Bill 236, Work Order 32-LS1642/B, be reported from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Without objection, Senate Bill 236 has been reported from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. We'll do a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. Thank you. Senate Education is back on the record. At this point, we will continue work on Senate Bill 225 relating to teacher apprenticeship programs, and I'll bring 225 back before the committee. This is the seventh hearing on Senate Bill 225. We have a committee substitute for this bill. Senator Hughes, correction, Senator Stevens, would you care to make a motion?
Sure, Mr. Chairman. I move to adopt a proposed committee substitute for SB 225 worker 32-LS1439/I as our working document.
I will object for discussion. Mr. King, could you please take the presenter's table and explain the changes in the committee substitute?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Ed King, staff to Senator Holland. Mr. Chairman, this committee substitute makes several changes to the bill. The first change is found in Section 1. It adds the University of Alaska as a collaboration requirement for the pathway to the teacher apprentice program. Mr. Chairman, that's intended to recognize that the University of Alaska's Educator Rising program already meets this requirement and pulls that recognition into the statute, but does not preclude the department from collaborating with other institutes of higher learning. Section 2 clarifies portions of the teacher residency program. It limits the teacher resident to not being the teacher of record during the first year of residency. It also sets standards for mentorship that the Department of Education will set, and it makes clear that it's the districts that are sponsoring the programs. There's no changes to Section 3. Section 4 inserts a requirement that non-traditional or alternative teacher preparation programs must be accredited institutions. And Mr. Chairman, I would point that there's an amendment coming that will address that issue. There are no changes to Sections 5, 6, or 7. Section 8 is a significant change to the teacher apprenticeship program. And Mr. Chairman, there's likely more work on this program that needs to be done in the Labor and Commerce Committee as well. But the changes so far move the program from the Department of Labor over to the Department of Education as the sponsor, and just clarifies the teacher apprenticeship program on how to create a template program and clarifies the relationship between the districts and the department. It also specifies and clarifies that the teacher apprenticeship program is intended to be a multi-year pathway for parent educators and a way for people without a college degree to earn their degree while also earning a paycheck. Mr. Chairman, the changes also require that the Department of Education and the Departments of Labor and Workforce Development help districts to develop their apprenticeship programs. And then the most significant change is the change to the grant fund within Section 8. The grant fund is now a much more general fund for teacher recruitment efforts. I point the committee to the changes towards the end of the bill. I can pull it quickly. The teacher recruitment fund, as it's now called, starts on page 10. This teacher recruitment fund houses grants available for districts to deploy and develop multiple innovative pathways to deal with their teacher recruitment and retention issues. The idea of the fund is to award grants to districts that, and recognizing that each district has different needs and different ideas. And so it lists several of the options that might be qualified as a program that supports teacher recruitment and retention. And Mr. Chairman, it also gives the department the ability to authorize grants for other developed programs as well, and directs the department to develop a scoring matrix on how to deploy the funds that are available. The last part on Section E of this, subsection E on page 11, the department shall, after each award cycle, provide each school district with a copy of each grant application that resulted in an award. This is for the purpose of spreading innovative ideas across the state. So if a district comes up with an innovative solution, we make sure that idea diffusion is allowed to occur. Mr. Chairman, the changes to the rest of the bill, there's a conforming change in Section 9, and Section 10 adds the repeal of 1420-220. That's a limitation on credit for out-of-state service. This was a request from within the Teacher Recruitment and Retention Task Force report that this statute be repealed, and so it was included in the bill as well.
All right. Thank you, Mr. King. A question. So we do have we haven't accepted the committee substitute yet, but do you have a question?
Well, it is a bit related to that. Okay. I was looking, and maybe I misplaced it, but do you have the summary of the changes in the document that we can review them, and were those provided? Or... Thank you. That's fine.
Thank you. That's it. All right. So at this point, I will remove my objection. Are there? I'll give you a second to review that paperwork, Senator Hughes. But what I'll say is, seeing no further objection, version I is our working document. All right. We'll take amendments to version I after we finish public testimony. But first, we do have some invited testimony. And I'm seeing who might be in the room. But so with invited testimony, we will ask our speakers to limit their comments to about 5 minutes. I see our first one up would be Dr. Lisa Parody with the Alaska Council of School Administrators joining us via Teams. And if you'd state your name, your affiliation, and with people who join us electronically, we ask them to tell us, inform us of your location for the record. So name, affiliation, and location for the record, and then begin your about 5 minutes of invited testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning. Mr. Chairman and members of the Senate Education Committee, for the record, my name is Dr. Lisa Parody. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Council of School Administrators, or ACSA. I am in Juneau. As you know, ACSA was established in 1973. It is a private nonprofit that was created to serve as the umbrella for Alaska's premier educational leadership organizations, including superintendents, elementary and secondary principals, school business officials, and all hardworking school administrators across Alaska. And I briefly want to thank you each for speaking to our members during their legislative fly-in this week and for meeting in individual meetings with them. I know you have heard from them directly how critical the issues are that you are addressing in SB 225. It's been 2 years since our members have been here, and you have helped make it an excellent learning and advocacy experience, and I deeply appreciate it and want to thank each of you. Thank you also for inviting me to speak in support of Senate Bill 225 on behalf of our members. By now you understand ACSA's members work together every year to develop our joint position.
Dr. Parody, if might take a second. Yeah, you locked up for a little bit. Maybe say the last two sentences again.
Thank you. Can you hear me now, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, it sounds like you're in a space. If you could bring the microphone a little closer.
Okay, I'll lean in. Can you hear me better now?
That's a bit clearer.
Okay, I apologize for that. By now you know that our members in their joint position statements, prioritize preparing, attracting, and retaining qualified educators as a top priority. Retaining effective educators and leaders is imperative to increasing student achievement. We're all working to increase student achievement, and this is key to being able to do that. It also eliminates academic disparity for all of our Alaskan students. ACSA strongly encourages the development of comprehensive statewide programs to prepare, attract, and retain high-quality, diverse educators and professionals. This bill, SB 225, supports this position squarely, and we are in support of this bill. We have worked with partners to create cohort new-to-career programs for principals, assistant principals, superintendents, aspiring superintendents, district office administrators, to help grow and ultimately retain administrators. These programs focus on mentorship, networking, professional development, and the skills necessary to be an effective administrator. We know how important continuity in school districts is to the success of our students. Superintendent and principal turnover can negatively affect student, teacher, and school outcomes by disrupting a school's organizational climate and culture and the structures that facilitate teachers' work, all of which are essential for improved instructional processes and increased student achievement. By way of example, Stanford University's study found recently that the odds of teacher turnover were 10% higher in the year after a principal departed, and that principal turnover was linked to increased chances of the most effective teachers leaving the school. The Alaska School Leadership Academy is a partnership with the Department of Education and Early Development that serves principals and provides them with experienced mentors. The program began in 2018 because a group of veteran principals, some of which are in the room with you, said we must have this program. It existed before, it went away. It was the reason that they were propelled into being successful principals and then ultimately our veteran principals. So we've recreated that opportunity for principals in Alaska in 2018, and we're on our fourth cohort of principals. The program has served 103 new principals in 65% of our school districts and 85 schools across the state. There are three pillars to ASLA: personalized mentoring, giving new principals a veteran principal they can have conversations with about their job and feel comfortable asking questions, research-based. Being in a two-year cohort, the new principals also have a network of peers with whom they can share experiences and grow together and support each other. The third pillar is an advancement of leadership skills. ASLA offers professional development critical to school leadership, so new principals can gain and strengthen skills that they will need to lead their schools. We know that leadership matters. Research tells us that leadership matters. It is a primary issue for retention. ACSA and the Alaska Superintendents Association also offer a similar program for new superintendents and superintendents that are new to the state, because Alaska is unique and we need to afford them that support. The new and incoming superintendent program was created to address the turnover rates at the position and provide the on-the-job learning opportunities for first and second-year superintendents that are relevant to Alaska schools. Superintendents are paired with mentors who have experience and are successful in Alaska. New superintendent program, we have three distinct programs that supported them. The new superintendent program, they focus on board relations, collaboration, strengthening a supportive workplace for all staff, development of leadership attributes that make a difference in student achievement and school district culture, problem solving and accountability implementation to ensure positive results for students. This program also provides some mentorship for new superintendents, support them to be successful and stay in their position for long-term district stability. The next program is our district leaders program. These are individuals who may not be aspiring to be a superintendent, but who are impacting our students' experience. A similar focus as the new superintendent program, but with more work on performance management through a continuous improvement process. District leaders are tasked with implementing the district vision as determined by the local communities and the school board. Many tasks are the nuts and bolts of supporting school staff and improving learning for individual students and providing resources to put schools and their staff in a position to be successful. This heavily contributes to staff retention by providing a supportive workplace in this collaborative, accountable, supports all staff to develop their leadership skills and district opportunities. And finally, aspiring superintendent program focus on what it takes to be a successful school district superintendent and develop critical leadership skills that are demonstrated by successful superintendents and CEOs to lead improved student learning in a highly complex environment. In essence, ASA is working to build the high-quality bench of prospective leaders to take on the role of superintendent in an Alaska school district. As with all education positions in Alaska, there are fewer and fewer applicants for superintendent position than ever before in the history of Alaska. It is critical to give communities choices as well as provide support to Alaska's educators to improve their leadership skills that would allow them to move into different roles in public education. Another piece to understand is and it's important to note that superintendent position is considered a terminal job. That is, it usually is held by someone who has many years of experience in education or leadership role. The capstone position is susceptible to shorter tenures than other education positions, as many are near the retirement age when they take on the role. So, for example, in 2021 and 2022, there were 15 superintendent hires made to start the year. Of those open positions, 8 were created due to retirement. Also, 4 of those open positions were created by the sitting superintendent moving to another open position. Of the 3 remaining openings, 2 were filled by interim superintendents, which automatically created an opening for 22-23, and 1 open position was created due to the sitting superintendent's untimely passing. Turnover will happen simply due to the experience level of a sitting superintendent. But I will add that the impossible challenges of the COVID pandemic have presented to education has been a compelling reason for many to retire. We've also seen new trends. Many of the hires from 2021-22 were considered new to the position. 9 hires had no superintendent experience, many cases no education or background as a superintendent. Of the 9 two-position superintendents this year, all participated in the ASA new superintendent program and all opted to participate in the mentoring support part of the program. Currently, all are returning to their positions next year. There are very few who are pursuing other superintendent positions in Alaska, but have been successful in their current position with their boards wanting them to return. So we have found that when a superintendent participates in our ASA new superintendent program with the mentoring component, they are much more likely to return for their second year in the same position and very, very likely to return a third year. We have implemented the mentoring component for 3 years now, and we are seeing results that are very promising. We further recommend funding for a robust educator pipeline by creating incentives for graduates to stay in Alaska. A nationally competitive compensation and benefits package combined with an attractive state retirement system is imperative for attracting and retaining our educators and leaders. ISER, the Institute for Social and Economic Research, found that Alaska averages around 1,000 new teacher hires a year. The same report found that each school district spends a minimum of $20,000 per teacher hired. We know that with inflation, that's much higher, around $20 million annually. The cost of training new teachers and recruitment. By investing in our state's educators through competitive benefit packages, the money spent yearly on new hires will be invested within other needs. I just also will note that the governor's teacher retention recruitment work group was very compelling with regard to these issues and the importance of retention and recruitment in Alaska. Our educators deserve compensation benefits that reflect their job responsibilities and high levels of education. So in close, we thank you for bringing SB 225 forward. We support the amendments that are being proposed. Particularly an amendment that will expand the language to make clear that we are talking about professional development for superintendents, principals, and other school administrators. We encourage the committee to offer an amendment to afford private organizations like ours who are working in this area already and having success to be able to apply for grants, to have support, to enhance our work that we are doing, thereby enabling us to offer it to all new and early career administrators free of cost. We don't see a need for redundancy. We don't see a need for starting new programs. We are doing great work in support of all of our school administrators, and we hope that the committee will see fit to expand that opportunity for us to be able, and others who are doing this work, to be able to apply for those grant dollars as well. We know through research, by stabilizing school administrators, we help to reduce teacher turnover, thereby supporting increased student achievement for all of our students. Thank you for working to stabilize education. This is such a critical area to public education. We are grateful for your efforts. We look forward to continuing to work with you to advance this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Parody. I'll caution the other speakers. We have a limited amount of time. I gave her some latitude. I stopped my clock at 15 minutes. 5 minutes goes by so quick. But that's a good base to start off of. So maybe maybe people won't go over those that too much. But we will be up to the next invited testimony, and I have Lon Garrison. And Lon Garrison with the Alaska Association of School Boards, please come on up, put yourself on the record, and begin your approximately 5 minutes of invited testimony.
Good morning, Chairman Holland and Senate Education Committee. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak to you today. I'm Lon Garrison, the Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. I'll try to keep my testimony short and sweet for you. The Association of Alaska School Boards is in support of Senate Bill 225, and ASB's membership has four resolutions that either directly or indirectly support the elements of this legislation, and I have included those resolutions in the copy of the testimony in written form today. These resolutions include 4.1, supports for staff professional supports for staff development, 4.5, addressing teacher, specialist, and administrative shortage, 4.17, addressing the paraprofessional shortage, and 4.18, establishing a new teacher incentive program for Alaska. School boards and superintendents across the state, whether rural or urban, face a common and daunting challenge, and that's the ability to find and retain teachers. For most districts, teachers entering the educational workforce are young, they're inexperienced, and have little or no Alaska experience. In nearly all of the school districts, the teaching staff is not reflective of the cultural or ethnic makeup of the student population, and as a result, teacher turnover has averaged nearly 22% or greater per year across the state, some much greater in some areas. And so that means that nearly one in four teachers in the state will be new each year. Teacher turnover has a direct impact on student achievement and the overall health and well-being of each student. This means that progress on improving student outcomes is negatively affected by the fact that students don't have the opportunity to experience stable, lasting relationships with their educators. Senate Bill 225 provides the opportunity to create alternate pathways for local individuals and current and content experts to become effective, reliable, and relevant educators that are much more likely to choose to stay in that position. This ultimately creates an improved sense of connectedness and support for each student, resulting in better student outcomes. ASB continually hears many school boards' desires to create alternate pathways that would allow classified staff to enter the teaching program while staying in their home district and continuing to work. The proposed paraprofessional training program or an apprenticeship can provide those opportunities. Furthermore, subject matter limited certificates can open a world of possibilities for all sorts of experts with real-life experience to engage and compel students to learn from those individuals. By statute, school boards are responsible for allocating resources through their budget on a local level in order to provide an excellent education for every student every day. Utilizing those funds to support locally grown teachers is far more cost-effective than hiring nearly 25% of your workforce each year. School boards know that student outcomes are what matter, and that the one most significant way to improve student achievement is to support the creation of a workforce that is reflective of the student population, is committed to school community, and brings something relevant and engaging to the classroom. For these reasons, ASB strongly supports and urges the passage of Committee Substitute 225 as one more tool in the toolbox for addressing Alaska's teacher shortage. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to the bill.
Thank you, Director Garrison. And up next will be Tom Claymore. Claymire. Claymore is quite a different thing. Tom Claymire with NEA Alaska, and he's joining us via Teams. Mr. Claymire, if you can see me, if you can hear me. There he is.
Yes. Good morning, Chair Holland and members of the committee. Thank you for inviting me to testify and share my thoughts on SB 225. For the record, my name is Tom Claymire. I currently serve as president of NEA Alaska, and I'm testifying from Eagle River. I'll do my best to keep this short. I did have 15 minutes of prepared testimony, but I'll submit that in writing And you'll have to pardon me if I'm not as eloquent as I normally try to be summarize some of what I've written. Of course, you guys are aware of the Alaska educator shortage and the fact that it's been growing for years, and the COVID pandemic has just made it worse. For educators who choose to remain, they're enduring unprecedented levels of stress and pressure associated with those added duties, class sizes, lack of support. And of course, it's our students who suffer when educators don't have the time or the resources to do their work. My testimony I've divided into three basic parts: a discussion of the possibilities and opportunities afforded by SB 225, some of our concerns, and the fact that we believe that it fails to address, frankly, some of those systemic issues, which are greater contributors to the teacher shortage. We support and appreciate the inclusion of a paid residency as a key feature of the bill. That's outstanding. We want to make sure, though, that it includes the characteristics of a strong and successful program, because there's a variety of residency models out there. We believe that a strong program has strong district and university partnerships. So I was glad to hear Ed King's comments about the University of Alaska and other institutions being added back to the conversation. The full year of the residency is outstanding, but we want to make sure that it's alongside a master teacher, not instead of. If the resident is simply a teacher of record thrown into a classroom by themselves, isolated, we don't feel like that's the best way to support them and lead to success. We'd also provide additional supports for residents in addition to the residency. Other measures such as tuition assistance or loan forgiveness, and that could be in exchange for like a three to five year post-residency teaching commitment, maybe in our highest need schools. And then we'd also want to see the creation of a comprehensive program for induction and onboarding, mentoring and professional development beyond the residency. And we believe that the Alaska Commons can provide that's already being developed by Dean on Canvas, and that could be built out to be an ideal platform to create some of the networking that these students and teachers would need. We also support the pathways creating sort of the Grow Your Own paraeducators for achieving full certification, mentorship, and onboarding and induction for our ESPs, our classified employees as well. Same with administrators. They also need the robust mentoring and leadership training opportunities. Teachers, in my opinion and my observation over my 26 years, never leave kids, but they do leave adults in the building. And so it's important that we create those systems and resources for developing leadership pipelines in districts and expanding that leadership capacity in schools to create the nurturing, collegial, collaborative, respectful school settings that encourage teacher retention. Also glad to hear about the amendment to study rural housing as a attraction retention problem. There's a couple of policy things that we're concerned about. One is the nationally accredited versus regionally accredited. And again, I appreciate Mr. King's comment at the beginning that that's going to be addressed. Looking forward to seeing that language. Another is the reduction in the qualification simply by taking a test to become a subject matter expert, rather than the current requirement for majoring or minoring in a field and having 5 years of experience. Our biggest concerns around the alternative pathways to certification. We know that it's not the intention of the legislation or the committee, and we're not suggesting that commissioners or future state boards will not be judicious in their approval of those kinds of pathways, but we want to make sure that we get it right, that we don't rush just to get more educators certified, that we want to flag this concern about the quality of some alternative pathways that have been established in other jurisdictions that maybe are not necessarily driven by quality of teaching, but maybe time and profit. In fact, I will slow down a little bit here for a second. Most notably, research shows that teachers who are prepared through these programs have on average less coursework, less student teaching experience, and are not more likely to be retained. In fact, teachers obtaining their credentials from alternative pathways are fully 25% more likely to leave their school or profession. So I don't want to create this vicious cycle here that essentially we make an investment in unprepared educators who are less likely to stay, and then running the very real risk of students as a result potentially losing days, weeks, or months of ground academically as a result. And then my last part is our concern about those underlying structural things that need to be addressed, and that simply is financial. And I know a lot of people don't want to talk about these things. We like a lot of what SB 225 brings to the table, and we appreciate that. But frankly, those efforts are going to be moot if we don't forward fund our schools, if we don't provide a retirement that's decent, stable for our employees, such as that top line in HB 220. You know, if we're really going to address the problem of teacher retention, fixing the worst retirement system in the nation has got to be priority number one. We can do it without costing the state any more money than is being contributed now. And if we pass SB 225 to build this robust training and development system for educators, but ignore the retirement crisis, all we will have done then is created an ideal teacher prep program for other states, right? The best and most effective way to retain our teachers over the long run is to provide that retirement system that incentivizes staying in the state, not leaving it. And then the forward funding piece, right? If the other issues that we've talked about aren't enough incentive to leave Alaska, being laid off at the end of a long and challenging school year has got to be the final straw for many early career educators who are weighing their employment options. So if we're truly serious about our intent to address the educator turnover crisis, both fully funding the BSA, inflation-proofing it, and forward funding our schools, providing a retirement has got to be the main part of the conversation. And then to retain our educators, what we're doing here in SB 225 largely addresses attracting and getting more educators here. Let's keep them here once they're in the system. And I think we'd be doing our Alaska students a favor. I'd like to thank the committee for your time and consideration. Again, I'll send my full testimony by writing, and I'm available to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, President Claymeyer. Senator Stevens?
If I could ask Tom to provide us any information he has on the issue you mentioned, that unprepared teachers are more likely to leave. If you have any statistics or any information, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Yes, I'd be happy to follow up with that through the chair. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, President Claymeyer. Next up will be Karen DeMoss, and I see you're joining us via Teams. If you'd please state your name and affiliation and your location and begin your 5 minutes or so of invited testimony.
Thank you, Chairman Holland, esteemed Senate Education Committee members, for inviting our testimony today on SB 225. It's an honor to be here in support of the historic residency and apprenticeship legislation you're considering. For the record, my name is Karen DeMoss, and I'm the Executive Director of Prepared to Teach, a nationwide initiative out of Bank Street College of Education in New York, where I am today. Bank Street was founded over a century ago as an experimental school with an embedded teacher preparation program. The goals were to understand how children and youth learn, to understand how to help adults learn how to help children and youth learn, and then finally to share out lessons in an effort to improve outcomes for families, schools, and communities nationwide. Over the years, Bank Street has brought its work to bear in many areas, helping establish Head Start, universal pre-K, word processing in schools, and multicultural representation in children's books. Our project fits in this tradition. For the past 6 years, we've worked with districts, preparation programs, states, and the federal government to explore how to create a teacher preparation system that allows every aspiring teacher to learn alongside an accomplished mentor, co-teaching in a classroom for a year before becoming certified. This is the approach elite private schools have always had, and it is how countries that have strong educational systems do preparation, as the National Conference of State Legislatures documented in their groundbreaking report, No Time to Lose. The reason I call this legislation historic is that this bill will position Alaska among the country's first states to act on what we now know. Teacher residencies are the best way to prepare for the profession of teaching. But scaling teacher residencies requires investments because aspiring teachers cannot afford to work for free. With a move towards more universal access to year-long financially supported teacher preparation, here's some of the kinds of impacts the state of Alaska can look forward to that funded residencies have documented. 90% retention in the third year of teaching at the same school. Over 80% retention in the same district after 5 years. Doubling of new teachers who come from diverse backgrounds. Improvement in achievement in classrooms where residents are prepared. reduction in disciplinary referrals in classrooms where residents are prepared, strong leadership roles for mid-career and veteran teachers, and improved instructional outcomes in first-year teachers' classes where achievement is the most difficult to realize. The research-based outcomes of residencies are all positive, and they translate into even more powerful lived experiences in schools. When teachers understand how to create safe, supportive, and engaging climates, children build a sense of belonging in the world. When instruction is grounded in pedagogies that challenge and encourage creativity, young minds flourish and develop identities with a sense of curiosity and possibility. When schools understand and respect their communities, parents are partners with their children's educators, reinforcing mindsets and expectations that help children thrive. The science of learning and development research makes clear that every student needs teachers who can do these things. And learning how to manage the complexities of classrooms, how the strengths of all the individual learners and design supports all of learning how to design supports for them all takes time. Residencies provide the necessary time for individuals to become those teachers that we want inside our schools. For the entire nation, every day that we delay shifting our teacher preparation systems to funded residencies sets us further behind. More students have remedial needs because they've not been given appropriate opportunities to learn. Many disengage and drop out. Others may be inappropriately referred to special education, with profound implications both for educational systems and for the students and families themselves. The good news is that we now know how to build the right preparation ecosystems grounded in deep partnerships between P-12 and institutions of higher education. And the University of Alaska system is poised to engage that work, we know, as the Fairbanks campus has joined our national network of partnerships and is actively engaged with leaders of other campuses. Alaska stands ready to show the way for the nation. As the old proverb says, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, and the second best time is today. Today, you are considering this groundbreaking legislation that will offer a pathway to make what is possible a reality. I commend you for your vision around teacher residencies. I hope the bill garners broad bipartisan and cross-sector support. As your discussions move forward, our project has reams of reports and lots of expertise in financial modeling for sustainability, in supporting partnership development for this kind of systemic change, and in the research base that supports it all. If any of this will help your efforts, please know that we stand ready to support you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Director DeMoss. Next up would be Rosalind Grady White. And I see you may be joining us by phone. And if you can hear me, please state your name, any affiliation, and your location, and begin your 5 minutes or so of invited testimony.
Hello. So my name is Rosalind Grady White. That's Y-C-H pronunciation. I thank you, Chairman Holland and the Senate Board, for allowing me to testify. I am the Vice President and Founder of the Alaska Coalition of BIPOC Educators, and we are in support of SB 225. We are currently working on how to bring more educators of color into the education field and how showing kids how it's cool to be an educator. And this is one way that could help. I'm just gonna tell you why a program like this is important to me. I currently am a paraprofessional for the Anchorage School District. I became a paraprofessional by way of being a cafeteria manager. While I was a cafeteria manager, I started working with behavioral children, giving them another face to look at while they were having a meltdown. Well, after time, I got tired of lunchroom politics and decided I didn't want to leave the district. I just wanted to do something else, and eventually I started looking at other positions. I remember my security guards made the difference because I knew them personally, and I started engaging with paras. Eventually, I ended up getting a job as a paraprofessional at Wayne. While being there, I started going to school. Currently, I am paying cash out of pocket, entered into an online accredited school called Grand Canyon University. I am in a dual degree program. It is elementary education and special education. I am in my final year, and I will prayerfully be walking spring of 23. That is my track, and I'm ready to be a certified teacher for the Anchorage School District or an Alaskan district, period. My goal as a single parent of five is to get my master's in administration and eventually my doctorate in African American studies or cultural studies. I would be, if not the best, but perfect candidate for SB 225. as my future is my future and my intern goal is becoming Anchorage School District Superintendent. Lastly, keeping in mind there are more like me. I don't really have 5 minutes. I only have my story, but I just I really think that a program like this would be fruitful for our district. You have a lot of parents that I know that are currently in school that could have used a residency program like this, that want a mentor, whether it's a certified teacher, whether it's a principal, or an administration, administrator in a top seat. We want those seats. And it comes because we've worked as a parent and we see that there's a difference and we want to make that change. So again, I thank you. And I also agree retirement and pay is obviously very important, especially in this competitive world that we live in. But my ending thoughts are thank you for allowing me to speak. I am currently at school and we're getting ready for testing, so I've got to go. But thank you very much for allowing me to testify.
Real quick before you leave, could you confirm the spelling of your last name?
It's Grady, G-R-A-D-Y, dash W-Y-C-H-E.
Oh, C-H-E. White. Thank you. Thank you, Rosalyn Grady White. Thank you for the invited testimony.
No, thank you. And you guys have a beautiful day.
All right. At this point, we've exhausted our list of invited testimony. And I will open it up to public testimony. Public testimony is now open. Is anyone in the room care to offer public testimony on Senate Bill 225? Seeing no one, and I see no one online wanting to offer public testimony. So I will close public testimony on Senate Bill 225. And we do have amendments to commit to consider. And I will move amendment number one labeled I.1.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you so much. So amendment number one is clarifying language. The term administrator development is vaguer than we probably wanted to use, and it replaces it with professional development for superintendents, principals, and other school administrators.
And I'll remove my objection.
Having that objection removed, is there any other objection? Seeing no other objection, amendment number one labeled I.1 is approved. I have a second amendment. I move amendment number two labeled I.2. Is there an objection?
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
And amendment number two adds the teacher housing study that was discussed in a previous committee meeting. Do you maintain your objection?
I will remove it, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Is there any further objection to amendment number two labeled I.2? Seeing none. Amendment number two labeled I.2 is adopted. And I will also move amendment number three labeled I.3. Is there an objection?
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Amendment number three provides that the State Board of Education provides the State Board of Education with the flexibility to approve alternative ways for Got to be able to read this morning. Amendment number three provides the State Board of Education with the flexibility to approve alternative ways for teachers to demonstrate competency. This flexibility is intended to allow people with necessary skills but an inability to pass an exam a path to certification. The specific issue the amendment is trying to address is the inclusion of non-native English speakers and people with test anxiety or disabilities. The intent is not to reduce the standard of competency is expected to be an alternative route to demonstrate the same skills in different ways. And Senator Hughes, do you maintain your objection?
No, I will remove it, Mr. Chair.
And is there any further objection? Seeing no further objection, amendment number three is adopted. Mm-hmm. Next up is amendment number four. I move amendment number four labeled I.6. Is there an objection?
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
And amendment number four is another effort to clarify that the efforts we're making this bill are not intended to degrade the quality of teachers we put in front of our students. The board does not have legislative authority to approve non-traditional and alternative programs that are not comparable to the expectations we set for our university programs. Senator Hughes, do you maintain your objection?
I will remove it, Mr. Chair.
Seeing no further objection, Amendment Number 4 is adopted. A brief at ease. Thank you, Senate Education's back on the record. And that is the end of our regular amendments. We do have two conceptual amendments. And Senator Hughes, do you have something we'll discuss as conceptual amendment number one?
Yes, and first of all, I'd like to describe it and then move it. Is that okay? Instead of doing it the reverse way, Mr. Chair?
That sounds like
so the new section about the teacher recruitment fund is not just about bringing in new teachers, but it's also about retaining them. And so for that reason, I move conceptual amendment number
It's conceptual one. Amendment number one.
Number one. Okay. So on page 10, line 15, we would add the words "and retention" in the fund title after the word "recruitment." And in section A on the same line after the word "recruitment." We'd follow that through the rest of that section. So on page 11, line 6, add the words "and retention" after the word "recruitment." On page 11, line 25, add the words "and retention" after the word "recruitment." And on page 11, line 27, add the words "and retention" after the word "recruitment."
All right. Thank you, Senator Hughes. I will object for discussion, which we had before it. Is there any discussion, any further discussion? I think it's appropriate. I think it accurately describes the fund. Is there any further discussion? No further discussion. I'll withdraw my objection. If there's no further objection, conceptual amendment number one is adopted. And then I will offer conceptual amendment number two as recommended by Dr. Parity as encouraged, and that would add, so conceptual amendment number two would be on page 10, line 21, and it would insert the words "to nonprofit organizations and" after the word "grant." Let me find that on line 21. And it would be phrased as "money in the fund may be appropriated for the department to provide grants to nonprofit organizations and to school districts for the school districts to design," and so forth and so on. That being the conceptual amendment, is there any objection? Seeing none, conceptual amendment number two is passed. All right. We do have Sandra Meredith on board with Department of Education. Ms. Meredith, if you would, do you have any comments on I'm sorry, that I believe that was something that we actually struck from the that amendment was not offered by Senator Begich. I apologize to Ms. Meredith.
No worries.
All right. Question for Senator Hughes?
A question for Sandra, just to make sure, and because this, I'm assuming, is moving to the Finance Committee, so maybe we're all set. But Sandra, the amendment we just passed regarding the housing study with returning the information to the legislature by December 31st, 2023, is that adequate time for that report to be conducted and reported back to us?
Please state your name and put yourself on the record.
You bet. This is Sandra Meredith, Minister Teacher Certification through at the Department of Education and Early Development, and today I'm speaking to you from Juneau. Through the chair, we most certainly would be.
Education's back on the record. I apologize for that interruption. I will note that we were working on another amendment to allow districts to move to four-day schedules. However, we were not able to work through all of the issues on that amendment before this meeting. We'll continue to work on that amendment in the next committee of referral. At this point, are there any further amendments? Seeing none, is there any further debate? Seeing none, I will look to Senator Stevens for the will of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate Education Committee substitute for Senate Bill 225 Work Order 32-LS1439/I, as amended, be reported from the committee with individual recommendations and forthcoming fiscal notes.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Without objection, Senate Bill 225, as amended, has been reported from the committee with individual recommendations and forthcoming fiscal notes. We will sign paperwork after we adjourn. Is there any other business before this committee? Seeing none, our next meeting is Monday, not till Monday, April 4th at 9 a.m. We are adjourned this morning at 10:07.